Philippians chapter 1, let's all stand. We're going to begin reading verse number 9. We'll read three verses, 9 through 11. And then we're going to talk about this subject, Paul's four prayer requests for the Philippian Christians. Paul's four prayer requests for the Philippian Christians. That's Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Well, that's good, isn't it? All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, teach us some things about prayer this evening. And then, Lord, may we not just learn about prayer, but help it to motivate us to pray. And Lord, boy, we're haunted by this verse, ye have not because ye ask not. And Lord, it may be true that we get to heaven, and there may be a whole ton of stuff that you really wanted to give us, but you just couldn't because we didn't ask. I pray that you'd help us to pray, to learn to pray. Oh Lord, teach us to pray, even as John taught his disciples to pray. And Lord, I pray that you would tonight give us a little bit of instruction in this matter of prayer. And then Lord, may we look at some specific prayer requests that we probably ought to pray one for another, and then also especially for those that you've given us to minister to. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. Now if you'll glance back at verse 3 and 4, you'll see that Paul writes these words, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, A-L-L, watch this, making requests with joy. Now that's very important. Folks, I hope that you're awake. You got your brain cells working? Are you thinking about the verses? These aren't just words on a black words on a white page. These is the holy, inspired, preserved words of God. Now let's read them again. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. There's a great prayer truth here in verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Now, let me give you some things. Paul prayed, I think that this verse indicates that Paul prayed for every individual in the church of Philippi. I think he prayed for them, and I think he prayed for them by name. Here it says, praying in every prayer of mine for you all. So I think that Paul took the time to pray. I like a Sunday school teacher who doesn't just say, Lord, bless my class, but instead gets a list out and says, let me pray for these students. Let me call out their names. I think a bus captain would be wise not to just say, Lord, bless my bus route, because, folks, it's not the route that needs the blessing. It's the children that need the blessing. It's the teenagers that need the blessing, and they all have their individual situations and individual problems, and I think Paul was a prayer warrior. I think that he didn't try to abbreviate his prayer time. I think he rolled up his sleeves. I think he got down on his knees. And I think the Bible talks about how he labored day and night in this matter of praying for those that God allowed him to minister to. So I believe, first of all, that Paul prayed for every individual by name. Don't just say, parents, bless the kids. In my case, bless the girls. You know, those girls have names. And so I think it's a wonderful thing when you take the time to call out every... Don't grandparents, bless my grandkids. Don't say that. Call out every one of their names before God. I think that God wants to hear the names. I think Paul took the time to pray for individuals by name. Now, let me give you something else, folks. Here's a little something, and I suppose I'm guilty of it. When I was studying this, I'll be honest with you, I kind of got convicted. And I decided that I was going to change some things in the way that I prayed for the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I will say this. I'm restructuring my schedule. I really believe that it's this important. I'm restructuring my schedule right now to be able to spend more time in prayer individually for each and every person here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to make more time for that and do that more often than I ever have in the past. You know why? Because I think I have an obligation to do that. You know what? I think that you need to have a pastor that prays for you by name. And so I promise you that I will do that, and I'm going to do that. But notice this. John R. Rice taught us something, pointed out something that the Bible teaches us, and that's this. Prayer is asking. Prayer is asking. Now that's very important, folks. You see, let me read this verse again for you and then give you a second truth or a secondary truth that I think is awesome. Paul didn't just pray for everybody by name. He didn't just call their name out. He made a request for every one of them. Now, did you get this? Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Now, watch what I'm going to teach you here, okay? And don't miss this. You know what we say? We say, Lord, let me pray for Jim, and let me pray for John, and Lord, I want to pray for Joe, and I want to pray for Sally, and I want to pray for Susie. Now, if you remember that prayer is asking, and I've done that, and I think, thank goodness, we have a Holy Spirit inside of us that interprets and makes intercession for us sometimes when we're not very thorough with what we're trying to say. But I thought about this. I don't think Paul just called every name out. I think Paul accompanied that each and every name with a specific request, and probably sometimes several requests. Now, does that make sense to you? If prayer is asking and we say, Lord, I pray for Susie, and I pray for Mary, and I pray for Sally, and I pray for Bob, and I pray for Johnny, and I pray, then what we're saying is, I ask for Susie, and I ask for John, and I ask for Sally, and I, well, what are we asking? You know, folks, just to mention a name is not to present a request. Okay, now we can all learn, can't we? We can all grow. Don't get defensive on me. Well, I can't believe it. I've always done that. Now you're telling me that's not right? Like I said, thank goodness the Holy Spirit knows what everybody needs. But let me just give you something, okay? He did not just mention their name, but also saw to it that he spent time making requests with joy. Did you get that? That's what it says, making requests with joy. With every name brought before the throne of grace, Paul, I believe, attached a specific request. He asked God for something for them on their behalf. And I think that that'd be a wonderful way to pray. Sunday school teachers, you're to know the state of your flock. A bus captain, you're to know the state of your flock. You know, you ought to pray for that each and every individual. But can I just ask you a question? If you don't pray for a specific request for each and every one of those, how are you going to know whether God ever answers your prayer? I think one of the delights of learning to pray specifically is that specific prayer is rewarded by specific answers. Did you get that? Amen. Specific prayer is rewarded by specific answers. And it's wonderful. Because I think that if you just call people's name out before the throne of grace, I think that's a wonderful thing. Hey, if you'll just call my name out before the throne of grace and let God, he knows what I need, that's a wonderful thing. But you know what? It doesn't do much to build your faith. And I think that when I have learned to pray specifically for individuals, then I have been delighted and my faith has been enriched and empowered when I watch God give specific answers to prayer. It is fun as a Christian to watch God answer your prayer, to know that God heard something that you requested and moved on your behalf and helped somebody and helped them in an area that you were specifically asking them for help in, okay? So perhaps these requests, I don't know what these requests were that Paul attached to each of the names. I don't know what the names were. But maybe these requests were based on a specific personal need that he was aware of because he didn't know these people. Perhaps it was a health need. He knew that some of them just were facing some hard things. Maybe he knew that some of them were fighting spiritual battles and he was interceding on their behalf. Perhaps there were some financial needs that he was aware of. But he did, I believe, specifically attach requests, and as a result, he received specific answers to his prayer. Now, folks, let me just encourage you to do something. We don't pray enough, and when we do pray, we abbreviate it, and we're not specific enough. And very few people in the Church of Jesus Christ today, I think, really understand what it means to labor in prayer and to intercede and present supplication for the brethren in prayer before the throne of grace. And if you do that, God bless you. That's a wonderful thing. But you know what? Most of us could sure improve in that area. And I think we ought to improve in that area. We have not because we ask not. Brother Jerry, I just don't understand this student in my class. It just seems like that spiritually they don't get it. It seems like that they have this problem in their life. Well, listen, do you pray for them? Not just pray their name out to God, because praying their name out is just saying their name. Praying means asking. So if you're going to ask for something for them, then be specific what you ask the Lord for. Does that make sense? You see? And so I like that because he said, pray always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. So I didn't just pray for you. Every one of you I attached a specific request to. Now I think this is important. How can we know that God is answering our prayers if we do not pray or ask for specific things. Let me have you flip over to chapter 4, if I will, in Philippians verse number 6. Paul, later on, takes the time to teach the Philippians to do the very thing that he had modeled before them in chapter number 1. In Philippians 4, verse 6, he said this, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," watch this, "with thanksgiving, let your requests," plural, "be made known unto God." You know what he's saying there? He said, yeah, supplicate for people and ask for people and with thanksgiving. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to make specific requests and stand before the throne of God. You know that a brother has a need. Hey, it's not going to do any good to talk about him. It's not going to do any good to smear him. What it's going to do good is to go to God with a specific request and ask God to do something specific in their life and on their behalf. You know, I will tell you this. I have been doing this. I've been exercising this. I've been trying to be a lot more specific in my prayers for individuals here at the church. Sometimes, folks, we need people praying for us. And, you know, the way we can help, the way you can help me, and I'm not going to sign this, and I'm not going to pass out cards and have you make you do it, but let me just share this with you. Honestly, if you're a member here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I would love to pray for what you are praying about. I mean that. If you have a specific prayer request, something that you just say, "Brother Jerry, listen, don't give me your entire prayer list, okay? Don't give me 147 requests that you bring before God." But if you say, "Brother Jerry, there's something on, there's a request of all requests," and I think most of us have that. There's the thing that I'm utmost burdened about. There's the thing that I'd like to see God move in, maybe tonight, more than anything I'd like to see God move in at this time in my life. Let me tell you, ask you to do something. I mean, I would count it an honor, a privilege, if you would put your name on a card and put that request on there. I promise you that when I pray for you, I will pray with you about that specific request. And I think that Paul probably was able to be specific because at times people shared prayer requests with him. I think, thank goodness, folks, that there's people that pray for us and pray for specific requests in our lives that maybe we're not even aware of. You know, a lot of us wouldn't write down the thing that we honestly need the most. Maybe it's because we're not aware of something that we need. But sometimes a spiritual leader can see a need in our life and go to God and begin to pray for that need. Some of your Sunday school students, some of your bus riders, some of the people that's in your nursing home, some of the people that you minister to in children's church, maybe not even be aware of or willing to admit what their greatest need is. But you know what? You know what, if you have some discernment, you may know what that is. And go specifically to God with that and pray specifically for that. You see, I want to join you in praying for that request. Whatever that request may be, if you'll turn that in to me, I promise you I'll pray for you and I'll pray for that request. Now, if you're going to do that, don't you rob me of a blessing. Okay, if you get that prayer request answered, then come to me and tell me that it was answered, okay? You know, I'm going to ask you from time to time, may ask you. I don't want to ask you and say, "Oh, Brother Jerry, didn't I tell you 6 months ago I had that answered?" Well, you just, for 6 months I've been praying for nothing? Come on now, don't do that to me, all right? And so, oh, praise the Lord. But I know we all have trouble remembering things, but share the blessings of answered prayer. That builds other people's faith. You know, if you go to someone and say, "Would you pray about this?" and then God answers it, you ought to go back to that same person and say, "Hey, thank you, because let me share with you, God answered that request." And usually, if you're like me, you won't have trouble replacing that with another request, because it seems like there's always something we need to pray about. Isn't that right? And so this is important, you see, folks. We ought to be specific in our prayers for each other. We ought to pray individually for people. We ought to, I think, attach with their name a specific request. Then we can watch God answer that prayer. We can have our faith built, and we can have a part in helping that person in an area simply by learning to pray for them. Now, you say, "Brother Jerry, what if I just, there's a name on the list, and I'm not sure what their need is at all, and I don't know what to pray about?" Well, let me give you four of Paul's specific prayer requests that I think he attached to each individual for whom he prayed. Because we see in verse 3 and 4 this matter of his commitment to pray for all of them and make requests with joy. Then we see in verse number 9, 10, and 11 that Paul mentions and tells them, listen, he told them. He told them specifically four things. Let me tell you something. I'm praying for you, and these are the four things I'm praying about. By the way, Folks, let me tell you something. Don't use prayer as a club. But I think there's been times in my life. I remember when I was a teenager, and sometimes I was struggling spiritually. And a godly older church member, whom I know loved me, came to me and would say something like, "Jerry, I know that you're struggling in some areas of your life spiritually. I want you to know that I love you, and I want you to know that I'm praying specifically that God would help you to gain the victory." Now, let me tell you something. Somebody says something like that to you, your first reaction may be to get a little defensive. You may even get a little angry. But the honest truth is, it's a little hard to be mad at that for very long, you know, and that had a big impact. I mean, in my life, that had a big impact, that somebody noticed I had a need and went to me and said, "I'm telling you, I am praying for this in your life." Now, again, don't be mean, and don't be unkind just to be unkind, and don't say that and then not pray for them just so you could tell them something that you want to get off your chest. That's all nonsense. But honestly, sometimes people need to hear that, have that verbalized, "I'm praying for you in these areas." And Paul did that. He says in verse number 9, 10, 11, he says, "Let me tell you something, folks, and this I pray. Let me tell you," he said, "what my specific prayer requests are for each of you individually." And I think when Paul prayed, maybe he did it at the very beginning. Maybe he prayed that for them as a whole at the end and added these four requests. I don't know how he did it exactly, but I don't think you can go wrong by praying for these four things when you're praying for the people that God has given you the privilege and honor to minister to, the ministry that you're involved with. I think that there's four requests that everybody ought to have prayed for them before God by someone who's over them and above them and loves them. Number one, let me give you all four, because I'm going to get done at 8 o'clock one way or another. I promise you. I told the Master's Club that I would start finishing at 8 o'clock or at the latest 5 after. And now it's become a little bit of a joke between Brother Frank and Brother Jeffrey, you know. And I told them, "You just bring the kids up 5 after. Bring those kids up. Set them on the stairs. I'll be done." And they said that's, I think, one time in the last 6 months I've actually done that. But boy, we're going to do it tonight. Maybe. We'll see. And pray for me, would you, specifically, that I could accomplish that tonight, okay? Brother, see, this is why I'm late, because I always think of another story to tell. But I told Brother Klein, I said, if you get on the website, there was those places where you can click on the archive sermons. And I said, problem is, it's just got the date, and I need a name and a title so people can look down and see who preached and whatever. Well, he put a name of the preacher. And the title of the message and the date of the sermon. Then he put the length of the message. And I'm looking down through this on the website. I'm like, wait a minute, you know, John Lawrence, 35 minutes, you know, Dave Kearney, 37 minutes, Pastor Jerry, 1 hour and 4 minutes, you know. I said, this is no good. I don't know what's wrong. Something's wrong with the timer on his computer. And he needs to get that into the shop and get that fixed, because something's not right. So 8 o'clock, here we go, all right? Now, let me just give you all four prayer requests. And now you listen to this. And then I'm going to show you where I found these in the Bible. But let me just, if you were to pray these four, what's the four most important things that we ought to pray for as far as for each other, and especially for those that we're ministering to? And this is what Paul said. I'm praying for the church of Philippi. These are my four prayer requests for you. Now, let me just give them to you. He said, first of all, I'm going to pray that your love would be perfected. Your love would be perfected, that you would grow in this area of love. Now, if you've hung around here at all and listened to anything Pastor Jerry's taught in Sunday school lately and preached lately, you know that we all need to grow in this area of love and understanding what the love of God is, and having the love of God abound more and more in our lives and in our heart. That's prayer request number one. Now, that may not have been our first pick, but I'm talking about Sunday school teacher. Lord, would you please help the love of God abound in their hearts more and more. Abound in their hearts. You know, people that learn to love right and figures out what love is and lets the love of God take over in their life, I'm going to tell you something. It helps them to get over a lot of spiritual hurdles. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So first of all, he said, I'm going to pray that God would perfect or abound this matter of your love. Number two, he said this, Lord, help them exercise discernment and spend time on things that are proven. Help them exercise discernment and spend time on things that are proven. Number three, help them be real and not cause others to stumble. Number four, help them to do what is right. Well, that's a pretty good prayer list, isn't it? If somebody prayed that, those four things for me every single day, I would not only not be offended by that, I would be honored that you would pray those things in my life. You know why? Because I need to have my love perfected. You know why? Because I need discernment every single day of my life, and I need to spend time on things that are proven. Number three, I need to be real and not cause other people to stumble. Number four, I need to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, unto the glory and praise of God. I need to do right and learn to do right and then be filled with the fruits of doing right. Amen? Isn't that good? Okay, so let's cover each of these, all right? Number one, perfect their love, Lord. Help them to abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Here he's saying, Lord, would you help them in this matter of love, of loving the right things, that agape love, your love, may abound yet more and more in their hearts. May the love of God fill them. May the love of God touch them. May the love of God change them. Help them to experience and know the love of God. Now, folks, I think that we need to grow. Notice this love of God and experiencing the love of God and understanding the love of God in our lives needs to abound more and more. Now, the Bible talks about us being, our love being perfected. We're not going to go back there, but read 1 John 4, verse 12 through 18 for sake of time tonight. But it talks about the importance of our love being perfected. We need to grow in all areas, to be perfect or mature in all areas, and especially in this matter of love. I preached a message just here the other night about misdirected love. Let me give you two things here because they're covered in this verse. First of all, he said this, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more, number one, in knowledge, and number two, and in all judgment. Now, let me give you two things that to remind you of on this matter of love. And I've spoken a lot about love, loving the brethren, understanding the love of God, understanding that the love of God is a fruit of the Spirit, understanding that you have to be filled with the Spirit if you're going to love people the way you ought to and learn to love people. Hey, stop being mean to people. Stop being mean to people. What in the world's wrong with you? Shame on you. Shame on you. I mean it. Shame on you. What in the world's wrong with you? What are you doing walking around being mean to people? What are you walking around trying to hurt people? Hey, dull that sharp tongue. What in the world's wrong with us Christians? You know what this thing's about? This is about helping each other. This is about loving each other. This is about praying for each other. This is about exhorting and encouraging each other. That's what the Christian life's about, you see. Now, in this matter of love, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Let me give you two things. First of all, it's important that you know what love is and isn't. Notice that he says that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. In knowledge, know what love is and isn't. Let me just give you a little assignment. Let me give you a huge assignment. I'm a proponent of this. I've dared and asked for 12 years. I've asked without fail every year for our young people and our youth group to do one thing for me. Well, I've asked them to do about a zillion things, but I have asked this one thing every year. I've asked them to take their concordance. I've dared them to take their concordance. I've dared them to section off a time of their life when they look up every verse in the Bible that contains the word love, and not only just read it, but take a notebook beside it and write out everything that the Bible teaches about love. I will tell you, folks, you will be different. You will be changed if you get in the Bible and you figure out what love is. And love is not what the world defines love to be. God's love's different. This word's been so perverted and so torn apart and torn up and dragged through the mud and the slime. Let me tell you something. Agape love is a wonderful thing. Agape love is a beautiful thing. And agape love behaves itself and acts a certain way. It always does. A pastor has so many times pleaded with us, married couples, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Oh, yeah, I know, I've read that. I know. No, go there. Love behaves a certain way. Love treats people a certain way. Love isn't about me. It's not about being selfish. It's not about what I want. Love always is worried about the good of the other person and the happiness of the other person and is long-suffering and is kind to people. That's what love is. And so many times, Young people get deceived because something that they think is love is really a counterfeit love, and it's not the real deal. So first of all, he said that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. So know what love is and what love isn't, and you're not going to know if you don't take the time, because we have been so brainwashed in this generation. Get in this book. Let it change your thinking. Do a study on the word love and charity. Chase that all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. Write down everything the Bible says about love. And I'll tell you what, it'll take you some time to do it. If you just decided I was going to do that for my morning devotion and I'll do 5 verses a day, it would transform your life. It'd take you maybe a month or two to get through it, but it would change your life. And it's kind of like this. You know, they always say, how do you train people? You heard this old illustration? How do you train cashiers to recognize counterfeit money? And they say you never train cashiers to recognize counterfeit money by giving them counterfeit money. What you do is you let them handle the real thing. And when they handle the real thing and handle the real thing and handle the real thing and handle the real thing, and they're used to the way it feels, the texture, everything else, all of a sudden when they touch something that's not the real thing, there's something that goes off inside of them. And if they've handled enough of the right thing, they're going to recognize the counterfeit if they've never seen one before. Now, I think that's what the Bible does. When we go through the Bible and we do a Bible study like I'm talking about, and we just lose ourselves in a study, and we really immerse ourselves in trying to figure out and asking the Holy Spirit to teach us what the love of God is, and you spend day after day after day of your life studying this and making notes on this, pretty soon you have felt it and touched it and seen it and learned it so much that even if you have a hard time defining it, you may not be able to even tell somebody all that the Bible says about it, but you'll know one thing, you'll recognize a counterfeit. You'll recognize a counterfeit. And so let me plead with you, know what love is and isn't. There's some things that we do in the name of love that is not love. Well, I didn't say this because I love them. I didn't do this because I love them. Let me tell you something. You better understand what love is, you see. And then number two, it says this, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Watch this. Let me teach you something, church. Use good judgment in showing your love to others. Use good judgment in showing your love to, oh, I tell you what, I'm just so full of the love of God. And I just love God so much, and I just love everybody. Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. But you need to use good judgment in this matter of expressing love. Can I say something, folks? In this day and age, we've got to be so careful. We've got to be so careful, all right? Well, I just love this sister in Christ, and I just want... Let me tell you, gentlemen, keep your hands to yourself. Gentlemen, you touch your own wife and only your own wife, because let me tell you something. You may have the purest of pure hearts, but you know what? You're not using good judgment. You're not using good judgment. Men, let me just share something with you. Men, ladies in this church, can I just say something? Can I just be a little old-fashioned? I don't care if you're a lady and you've got a question to ask another man in this church, or if you're a man, you've got a question you've got to ask a lady in this church. Can I tell you just something? It just looks bad for a husband of one person and a wife of another, a different person, to spend too much time on a regular basis in deep conversation. Can I just say that? You know, you say, well, I just love people, and that's fine. But what you want to do is you want to use good judgment. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Use good judgment in showing your love to teenagers. All right, I love the teenagers around here. I love the teenage boys. I love the teenage girls. I love them with all my heart. But I'm going to tell you something. I am very discreet and use careful judgment in how I express that love. Do sometimes I write a note to a teenager? Yes. You know what? I love these young ladies, and I've never written a letter, a note to a young lady where I didn't sign me and my wife's name to it. I never write a note to a young lady and put at the end of it, love Pastor Jerry. Now, do you love them? Yeah, but you know what? That's just not good judgment. Are you understanding me? Okay. I'm very careful in my treatment of the young ladies around here. I don't want to ever make them feel uncomfortable. And we need to use good sense, gentlemen. We need to use good sense. These gals are, we have some wonderful young ladies around here, wonderful young ladies. But you know what? When they walk by you, you don't need to be looking them up and down. Now, you don't need it. You know what? That's not love. That's lust. You know, let's treat people correctly. Let me just say this. Even with the little children, folks, we have to be very careful. And you know what? Children are so lovable. And I do. I just love the children around here. I do. And I like getting down and talk to them. I like patting them on the head. I like praying with them and praying for them. I got the most, they're not in here tonight, but you wouldn't believe the note I got from Janae Sagersey. Oh, my goodness sakes. I should have brought it here and read it to you. It's not a note, actually. It's a book. My wife gave it to me, and she said, I'm not going to discourage you by telling you that she wrote this entire thing to you during your sermon last Sunday night, all right? I said, well, that's all right, you know. And I called it the Epistle of Janae, the Epistle of Janae, because she wrote and it was the sweetest thing, oh my goodness sakes. And then when I saw her the next morning, I got her attention down in the kindergarten room and called her over to me, said, I'm going to tell you, thank you so much for that note. That was the most encouraging thing I've read in a long time. Well, you're welcome. I love these kids. But I'm going to tell you, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Folks, let me tell you something. The most precious commodity we have around this church is our children. And you're looking at a preacher right now that I'm going to tell you, I believe in millstone justice. I don't have a bit of patience with perverts. I don't understand child molesters. I don't understand child pornography. I don't understand people. Listen, I know folks fall into traps, and we're all capable of the most wicked things that could be imagined. But there's some things that's almost beyond my comprehension. And we walk guard around this place. I like saying this every once in a while, because if there's a pervert in here, I want you to know, listen, I'll get you sooner or later. You're not going to mess around with the little children around here. You know, we've scared more than one of them off around here. We have. Oh. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Pastor Ross has scared more than one of them off around here. And we love our children. Don't be inappropriate with children. You know what? When you express your love, use good judgment. It's 13 minutes till we're in a lot of trouble. Amen. Here we go. All right, number two, prayer request number two. Now, folks, that's an important prayer request. I hope you just don't pass that off. You know what? These aren't only important prayer requests that you could pray for other people. This is important prayer request list you could pray for yourself. Lord, help me to have my love abound more and more in knowledge and in good judgment, using judgment. Lord, help me to grow in this area of love. Help me to love people more every day, not less every day. Don't let me become jaded and bitter and angry and all of that nonsense. Help me to care about people and genuinely love people. That's important. Number two, Paul prayed this. Help them exercise discernment and spend time on things that are proven or tested. This is important. I'll just spend a moment on this. But notice verse 10. He says this, verse 9, and this I pray that. And then the second that is found in verse 10. Also, we could say, and this I pray, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Now, that's important, that ye may approve things that are excellent. You know, Brother Jerry, that don't make any sense to me. Well, let me explain it to you, okay? What Paul's saying there, the word approve there means to exercise discernment, to discern something, to examine something, to test something, whether or not it's genuine. And I believe this with all my heart. We honestly need, as every Christian in this room needs, godly discernment. To have the wisdom to discern whether or not something is what it appears to be or not what it appears to be. To examine something. To test something. To discern. To test it as whether or not it's genuine or not. And so folks, listen to me. There's a lot of tricks of the devil. The devil's a deceiver. The devil's a trickster. And sometimes there's people that aren't what they appear to be. Sometimes there's situations that aren't what they appear to be. Sometimes there's traps that might look like an open door, but it's a trap of the devil. We have got to ask God to give those that we minister to discernment. Now listen to me. Boy, this is good. Take some time to discern situations, to discern circumstances. Take time to test something out, whether or not it's genuine or not. Listen, that doesn't mean you have to go around broadcasting or going around pointing. You're not a whistleblower. But you know, you ought to have enough godly discernment sometimes to know and discern a situation, know whether or not something is what it appears to be. So take some time to pray that God would give you godly discernment, to discern, to examine, to test as genuine. Now, the rest of the verse says this, that you may approve things that are excellent, or the rest of the request. That word excellent there means the better things or best things. It means things that have endured or borne the test of time. Excellent things. Now, what I want to do is I want to spend my time discerning, examining, and testing things that are the best things, the better or the best things of life, the proven things, the things that have endured or borne the test of time. You know, let me just give this to you. A lot of things can occupy our time and our attention that really are not worth the time that we spend on them. Really are not worth the time we spend on them. And we can get so enamored with something or so caught up in something. You know what it is? It's just a trap of the devil to occupy a great deal of our time with something that's frivolous, something that means nothing, something that doesn't count anything for eternity. It's amazing how obsessive we can get about the silliest things. Really, that just consumes our thoughts and consumes our mind and consumes our time and consumes our money. And next thing you know, that phase has come and that phase is gone. And we look back and Satan just basically got us enamored with something and involved in something that didn't amount to anything except just eating our life up, taking our time. And so be careful about what you get involved in. Young people, listen to me. You need godly discernment. You need to ask God to give you the ability to look at a situation and see whether or not it's a trap of the devil or not, and look past what a person is saying and see what they do and what they truly are, and don't just fall for every little silly thing that's said or every little trap that the devil sets out there. Good night. Have some discernment. Have some godly wisdom about you. You see, and we all got to learn, but listen to people around you that point things out. You know, you can learn. You can figure things out. You know, Brother Bo, why them big old bucks get as smart as they do and live as long as they do? I'll tell you what, because they made a few mistakes maybe when they were little, but you know what? They learned from it, and they weren't deadly mistakes, and they grow to an old age, and most of them will get hit by a car before they get hit by me or your arrow. You know why? Because they've learned some discernment. Young people, be like a wise old buck during hunting season. And they do have a calendar out there. They do. It's amazing. I'll see deer everywhere 2 days before the season, the day before the season starts. I think they all got together that night and said, well, October 1st is tomorrow. The bow hunters will be out. Let's all change our pattern and go hide somewhere. And then but you know why they're there? Listen, they learn to look for traps. They stop and they look ahead. You ever watch a deer out in the woods? Let me tell you, they just don't go blundering through, walking. If they did, you know what? They're called venison. They're called if they do that. You know, the dumb ones don't last very long. But I'll tell you what, you watch an old wise buck, or I'll tell you what I think is even smarter than an old buck. I hate to say this, guys, but it is an old doe. Well, those old does and the bucks, see, guys, this is what the bucks do. We could learn something here. What the bucks do is they stay out there in the woods and they let the does go out. And if none of them get shot, then they come out, you know. So I'm not suggesting that, but I think it's kind of neat, you know. And we can learn something from it, I guess. But that old buck, you know what? He takes a few steps and stops and looks around. Then he sniffs the air and he may eat a little bit. And then he makes look like he's not looking at that way. And all of a sudden he'll look at, see if there's something over there. Let me tell you something, folks. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, there's all kinds of traps set for us out there, and we've got to have some godly discernment. Now, begin to pray. Make that a prayer request. God, give me discernment. Give my Sunday school students discernment. Give the kids at our Christian school discernment. Give my children discernment. And Lord, give me discernment. Don't let me fall to the trap of the devil, you see. And so help them exercise discernment. And spend time on things that are proven, tested. And now, number three, he said this then. He said, here's another request I'm going to pray for you that are in Philippi. I'm going to pray that God would help you to be real and not cause others to stumble. Verse number 10, here's another of that in the middle of that verse. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, let me share something with you, because I'm going to tell you, I'll get on my little bully pulpit here. Let me get on my little stump here for a minute. But folks, listen to me. That may be one of the most important things we can pray for each other. You know what the world needs to see? Genuine, real Christianity. Genuine, real Christianity. I didn't say that they needed to see perfection, because they're not going to see it from me and they're not going to see it from you. But let me just say this, and I'll just say this. There may be a lot of shortcomings in my life, and there may be a lot of things that folks can point at, and they may be able to level accusations and be correct. But the one thing that no one will ever say and be true, and it be true, is this, is that Pastor Jerry is a fake, that he's a phony, that he's not sincere in what he does for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to me, that is perhaps the most important thing to be. Amen. Be real. Amen. Be sincere. Don't be a phony. Don't be a fake. Don't be a hypocrite. Be what you say you are and do it from the best of your ability. Listen, sincere people, real people, still fall short sometimes. But it's not because they're a phony, it's because they're human. But don't put on a facade. Don't be a fake. Be real. Listen, the lost world will forgive you for falling short, but they're not going to forgive you for being a fake. Yeah. Now, what I'm saying is the Jerry Ross that you see on Sunday, now I may not have the same clothes on, but as far as my core person that you see on Sunday that you talk to in the foyer of the church, it's going to be the same Jerry Ross that talks to somebody down here at the gas station on Monday. Be real. Be sincere. If you're working with young people and you are not sincere, I've said this over and over again, they have hypocrisy radar. You're not going to put on an act in front of young people without them picking up on it instantly. They know whether or not down deep you really care, down deep you're really committed to this matter of Christianity, or whether you're just looking for somebody to toot your horn in front of. So be sincere. And then this last thing, and it says, watch this, that ye be sincere and without offense. The word offense there means without causing others to stumble or without leading others astray. Oh, what a prayer request. You know, if I was going to pray something for myself, that would probably be something I'd be interested in adding to my prayer list. Oh God, please, 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 don't ever let me do something that would cause some other brother or sister to stumble. Don't ever let me to do anything that would cause somebody else to go astray and leave the right path. Help me to be careful in not having that effect or influence on other brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, young men, listen to me. Young ladies, listen to me. And young adults, listen to me. Is your life being lived in such a way so that if those younger than you watch you, they will stray away from the truth? What kind of example are you setting? What kind of example are you setting? If some little child started mimicking you, would they be more like Jesus or less like Jesus? Would they be closer to what they ought to be or less to what they ought to be? I'm not talking about what you do in the walls of this church. I'm talking about all during the week. Now, folks, listen to me. We will not win this community. We will not win this community. They'll drive by here and laugh and mock at this building, at this congregation, if the people in this congregation and the pastor of this congregation is not 7 days a week real out there living the Lord Jesus Christ in front of them. I'm just telling you, you can't have it both ways. You're not going to impact the world by being a bunch of fakes. We're just not going to do it. So get in or get out, get hot or get cold, do something. But if you're saved, then be a Christian. If you're not saved, get saved. But if you're saved, be a Christian. Man alive, we're not going to do it. We're not going to reach that lost world and be a bunch of fakes. The Lord, or Paul said, I'm going to get on my knees every day and I'm going to pray, God, help them to be real. And don't let them to live the type of life that would cause those that are looking up to them to stumble or to go astray. And the last thing that he said is in verse number 11. He finishes with this. Help them to do right. Isn't that simple? Isn't that a simple prayer request? But maybe, again, one of the most important things we could pray for those that we minister to. Lord, just help them to do right. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. And by the way, that's not our righteousness. Notice that. Which are by Jesus Christ. And the righteousness isn't for our benefit and glory. It's unto the glory and praise of God. Well, that'll keep you straight, that verse will. What are you saying, Brother Jerry? I said, you know what? I want to do right and I want to live right. Why? So I can enjoy the fruits of that. Why? Well, how are you going to do it? Well, I know it's not going to come from this guy. So it's got to come through the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's got to be his righteousness. Can't be my righteousness. My righteousness is filthy rags. My righteousness is nothing. But Lord Jesus, would you help your righteousness to become evident to the world through my life? And Lord, if you do so and anybody notices, I promise you, the praise and glory and honor will go to God Almighty. And so what incredible prayer requests. Can you imagine beginning to just get on our knees? If we didn't know anything else to pray for somebody that we cared about, for another brother, sister, if I didn't know anything and you never shared anything with me, and that's okay if you choose not to. But if I just went before God and called your name out and said, God, this is my brother in Christ. This is my fellow member, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And Lord, help their love to abound more and more. Help them to be filled with the love of God and to understand what it is and what it means, and to use good judgment in expressing it. And then, Lord, would you cause them to have godly, divine discernment, because the devil's such a trickster. Help them not to be fooled. And then, Lord, help them to spend time on things that are proven and not waste time on frivolous things that aren't going to amount to anything in eternity. Lord, help them to be real, sincere in all that they do for you. And then, Lord, help them not to do anything that would cause somebody else to stumble. And then, Lord, please, 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 just help them to do right. Well, that's a pretty good prayer. If y'all just take those four things and put it under my name, and that'd be the request you'd use for me for the rest of my life, thank you very much. I'd be honored. I need prayer in all those areas. I need to improve in all of those areas. And I think if you were honest, you'd say with me, amen, preacher. I think we all do, you know. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless our time together. And, Lord, that we've challenged the church. Lord, boy, this is a wonderful epistle that's written to really an outstanding group of Christians there in Philippi. And I love the candidness, Lord, of your Holy Spirit as you directed him, Paul, to write the scriptures, as the Holy Spirit directed Paul to write the scriptures, his candidness in just saying, hey, I'm praying for you. And I don't just throw your name out there. I attach requests to it. And by the way, let me tell you the four thing, one of the four of the things that I pray for you when I pray for you, four of the requests that I make before God. And Lord, this is helpful to us. I pray, Lord, for these things in our life, in my life, God, in the life of the church members here, and our deacons, our Sunday school teachers, our bus captains, every person that serves in any capacity. Lord, we need these things evident in our life as we go about the community spreading the gospel and just living day to day. I pray, Lord, that these things, these core things, would be evident. And Lord, we don't come by any of these things naturally. That's why we have to pray to you and ask you for these things, that you would manifest these things in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.